Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
I'm Robert Crowther at the Center for Science and Culture, and today we're going to talk with CSC attorney Casey Luskin about the recent report issued by Discovery Institute showing that in last year's Kitzmiller versus Dover School District intelligent design trial, federal judge John Jones copied the ACLU's findings of fact nearly verbatim in the section of his ruling dealing with whether or not ID is science. That section was the core of his ruling, in which he said that ID is not science and so should not be allowed for discussion in Dover area schools. Jones later went on a speaking tour touting his ruling and basking in the accolades of the likes of Time magazine, who hailed him as one of the 100 most influential people because of his ruling. In fact, Discovery's report shows that the thinking put into the ruling likely came from the ACLU, not Judge Jones. Jones copied a whopping 90.9% of the ACLU's findings and pasted them virtually unchanged into his own ruling. So the question is whether or not this is a big deal. Did the judge do anything wrong? Don't judges do this sort of thing all the time? Let's find out. I've got CSC attorney Casey Luskin here. He is a public policy and legal affairs analyst at the CSC, and is also a co-author of Traipsing into Evolution, which was the first book critiquing the merits of the Kitzmiller ruling. Welcome, Casey.
Thanks, Rob.
I'm glad you could be here today, because the report that is talking about Judge Jones and how much or what, if anything, he copied from the ACLU in his ruling last year has caused quite a stir. There's been a lot of media attention and a lot of discussion. So what I wanted to ask you first is to clarify exactly what it is that Judge Jones did. What is it that you are saying Judge Jones did? Are you accusing him of plagiarism or any other violation of judicial ethics?
No, we're not accusing Judge Jones of plagiarism. As a matter of fact, the report reads that proposed findings of facts are prepared to assist judges in writing their opinions, and judges are certainly allowed to draw on them. Indeed, judges routinely invite lawyers to propose findings of fact in order to verify what the lawyers believe to be the key factual issues in the case. Thus, in legal circles, Judge Jones' use of the ACLU's proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law will not be considered plagiarism nor a violation of judicial ethics, unquote. So, if we're not accusing him of plagiarism, what are we doing? What we're showing is that 90.9% of Judge Jones' section on whether intelligent design is science was taken verbatim or virtually verbatim from the ACLU's proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. And this is something which is important because future courts will have to decide whether they're going to see this section of Judge Jones' ruling as persuasive. And as it turns out, there are a number of courts, including the Third Circuit, which governs Judge Jones' court, and also the U.S. Supreme Court, which have highly criticized courts that essentially adopt the findings of facts from a party in a verbatim or near verbatim fashion. So what Judge Jones did is definitely frowned upon by courts and may cause future courts to take a second look at the ruling before they accept it as something more than simply a rehash of the ACLU's briefs.
So that leads to my question about whether or not this is allowable or legal. Do courts approve of this practice? Is it something that judges do all the time?
Well, it's not illegal. Courts do essentially take in a verbatim or near verbatim fashion large sections of plaintiffs' briefs, and it has happened in the past. But when it has happened, we found very strong precedent that it's very strongly disapproved of by courts, especially when it goes to the appellate level. So, for example, the Third Circuit, which governs all federal courts in Pennsylvania, has strong law discouraging judges from simply adopting in a, quote, verbatim or near verbatim fashion the findings of facts of parties in a case. As a matter of fact, a Third Circuit court from 2005 held that it is, quote, highly disapproved of for judges to do what Judge Jones did. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 1964 that when a judge adopted a partings of facts verbatim, that it was, quote, not the product of the workings of the district court's judge's mind, and noted that the findings of fact had been, quote, mechanically adopted. So definitely this is disapproved of by courts, and we found that a large number of legal scholars in the past have condemned this practice.
Interesting. It seems that that goes back to what you said about when future courts look at the ruling and look at this section, they'll weigh this as to whether or not that's something they should be citing in their judgment. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just to clarify, Judges do draw upon the findings of facts regularly when they're submitted from the parties, but to have 90.9% of essentially one of the most expansive and key sections of your ruling taken almost verbatim, if not exactly verbatim, from a plaintiff's brief, that really goes above and beyond what judges normally do, and something that is definitely not approved of. So, yes, I think this will have an effect upon future courts and how they perceive at least that section of the ruling.
So if some legal scholars don't exactly look on this with a good eye, and the courts have been somewhat harsh on judges who've done this, what about non-legal scholars? What about in the general public or, you know, in academia? How are people reacting to this?
Well, that's an interesting question, Rob, because Larry Moran, who's an interesting Darwinist, he has a blog, and he's a professor of biochemistry at the University of Toronto. We follow his blog sometimes because, for instance, about a month ago, he claimed that UC San Diego should not have admitted students which are pro-ID. So he's a pretty loud mouthpiece for the perhaps the most staunch Darwinist position. He said recently, in response actually to this report, that, quote, "The legal significance of the decision doesn't change my mind, but my opinion of Judge Jones does. He's no longer the brilliant man who is able to grasp complex scientific concepts in the blink of an eye," unquote. And I think that really what we're seeing here is that people are realizing that what went into the Kitzmiller ruling really was, in the section on whether ID is science, nothing more than a rehash of the ACLU's arguments. And to maybe make a more emphatic point as to why this is dangerous, the very famous Judge Skelly Wright, who is well known for actually desegregating New Orleans public schools, was favorably quoted by the Supreme Court when he instructed judges to avoid the blanket adoption of lawyers' arguments. And this is what he said, quote, "I suggest to you strongly that you avoid, as far as you possibly can, simply signing what some lawyers put under your nose. These lawyers, and properly so, in their zeal and advocacy and their enthusiasm, are going to state the case for their side in these findings as strongly as they possibly can. When these findings get to courts of appeals, they won't be worth the paper they are written on as far as assisting the court of appeals in determining why the judge decided the case," unquote. We actually see, Rob, that what Judge Skelly Wright warned against might actually be very relevant to what happened here, because we see that in their zeal for advocacy, the ACLU attorneys actually put some very factually false things into their findings of fact and conclusions of law, such as that intelligent design is published, no publications in peer-reviewed scientific literature, such as that Michael Behe allegedly said that some articles about the evolution of the immune system were, quote, not good enough, such as that ID requires supernatural causation. These are all claims which are factually wrong, which the ACLU zealously contended was true, and went against actually some of the testimony that was given in court by the pro-ID expert witnesses. And because Judge Jones copied their briefs wholesale into the ruling, he actually incorporated these errors directly into the Kitzmiller ruling. And we see that what's actually happened is that Judge Skelly Wright's famous quote has now come to full fruition, in that the zeal of a lawyer has been unfortunately adopted by a judge, when really what Judge Jones should have done is he should have fact-checked some of those claims very carefully, and hopefully he would have found that they were wrong and they wouldn't have gone into the ruling. So I think that perhaps we're finding that Judge James Skelly Wright, the famous Court of Appeals judge for the Federal Circuit in Washington, D.C., I believe, really had some wise words that perhaps should have been heeded here in this case.
Interesting. Well, this is fascinating. I'm glad you could clarify some of these issues for us. And if any of our listeners are interested in getting more information, if you'd like to read more about the details of the report and the case, please visit Evolution News and Views at evolutionnews.org, where Casey, myself, and others here at the center are reporting on a regular basis about this and about other developments in the debate over the validity of Darwinian evolution. You can also find the full report titled "A Comparison of Judge Jones's Opinion in Kitzmiller v. Dover with Plaintiff's Proposed Findings of Fact and Conclusions of Law" on the Discovery website. It's at discovery.org. I'm Robert Crowther for IDTF at the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.